Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's Fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena Penelope Noir, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, doing very well. Just cracking through the crossword, playing some tunes. What are we talking about on Fashion this morning?
I thought we'd talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh,
cool. Yes, absolutely. Stoked. Okay, why are we talking about Buffy?
It's actually because I've noticed how many Buffy style Instagram accounts there are. And there's like such a massive, you know, because I mean, we're reliving 90s fashion at the moment.
Yeah.
They've been for a while. There's quite a few new articles that are coming out about her fashion on Vogue and Paper Magazine. And so I just thought it would be quite good to revisit.
Totally.
So Buffy the Vampire Slayer came from a film which came out in 1992, which wasn't very well received, but the TV series, which aired from 1997 to 2003, was, and that had different different actors playing the characters. There were 7 seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and there were 5 seasons of Angel, which is the spin-off.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do want to check out Instagram accounts, you can check out Buffy Style, Buffy.style, Buffy Style Guide, Buffy Closet, and Retro Buffy, to name a few.
There's so many reasons why the fashion in Buffy has, like, you know, continued to be so iconic. And I think you're right. We're sitting in this kind of, like, exactly in that 90s Y2K moment in the fashion cycle right now. But also, it's just such an undeniably cool TV show. Like, everybody in it is cool. The whole, you know, it's a world you want to be part of, I think, as a teenager especially.
Yeah, definitely. It's weird because when it came out, I thought it was just lame. And I was like, I'm not watching this show. And so I didn't watch it until maybe like 10 years afterwards.
Yeah.
And then I loved it. And I was like, oh my God, how could I have thought this was lame? But
holding out on yourself.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, it's basically about a person who is a vampire slayer who becomes like the chosen one, who's kind of like just a regular person by day, but at night just takes on these superpowers, and that's Buffy. And she happens to move to a small town called Sunnydale, California, where it's the Hellmouth, and so it's the door to hell. So she's fighting demons and vampires and things like that at nighttime, which is, yeah, it sounds pretty crazy, but it's actually heaps of fun. And
it's kind of also sparked like a whole new, it's kind of sparked a whole new wave of like that particular genre of TV as well, where it's like some teens in a tiny town, which also happens to be the entrance to like the underworld or something.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing that's come out of Buffy. But let's talk about the fashion. I digress. Totally.
The other thing that I find quite interesting is that I, you know, like for a long time didn't realize that you'd have a costume designer for shows like this. Mm. I thought actors would just go, yeah, I'm going to wear this, you know, and they do have kind of like a very, you know, big part of what they're going to wear in their character building. But it seems so strange to me that people go out and buy, you know, clothing for characters that are just everyday clothing, you know. So the costume designer was Cynthia Bergstrom for the most part. There was an original designer called, I wrote it down, Susanna Puisto, I think. Or Pusto, and she originally started Buffy off in vintage clothing, and then halfway through the season, as Buffy finds out that she is actually the chosen one, they change the costume designer and then kind of try and balance it kind of California cool with Sunnydale kind of California, which is also supposed to embody you know, everybody USA.
Yeah, and that, I think maybe that's what it is about Buffy, is it's got an everybody quality to what she wears, but it's like elevated. It's just that little bit cooler. It's that leather jacket you wish you owned kind of thing. I don't know. That's how I feel like I experienced watching Buffy as a teen.
Definitely. And, you know, she was also like the social outcast by day, but at night she was like badass. And it's weird because she was actually dressed in designer clothing, like Dries Van Noten, Marnie, Haida Ackerman. And I didn't realise that at the time when I watched it, but probably because, you know, I don't know, you wouldn't really recognise it because it did look effortless.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you know, but it was kind of crazy because she was wearing things like leather pants and PVC and heels, and she'd go out and, you know, karate chop vampires and stuff. Yeah, and run really quickly and stuff. And I just used to think, oh, that must be sweaty, you know.
It's not, nothing phases Buffy. So for people who are trying to, like, I mean, I think everybody listening's probably got an image of Buffy in their head, but for people who maybe haven't, what is a Buffy outfit kind of look like? What's a typical Buffy vibe?
Well, she'd be wearing, like, you know, like a square necked top, because that was a quintessential kind of like 90s kind of look. No sleeves, you know, straight leg pants, mm-hmm. square toe shoes that had a heel. Sometimes they were pointed with stilettos. There was a lot of clashing prints and a lot of leather blazers, chokers. And in the day, she used to wear quite big kind of perspex glasses.
Yes.
Which have kind of like made a resurgence as well. And, you know, that kind of was offset, you know, with her other characters like Willow, who was her best friend, who wore kind of crafty outfits,
yeah.
which kind of like, I was looking back and I was going, whoa, that is crazy. Because even then I kind of thought they were weird, you know.
But that's her character as well. That's yeah. kind of all fits in that. But even then, that still had its influence too, especially if you think about, as you're saying, like the world of Instagram and TikTok now, there's whole like spin-off sort of, people will go right into trying to get their Willow fashion as good as they can get it, you know, finding things in op shops or thrift stores that would sit in that world, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And Xander kind of just wore, you know, slinky fabric shirts that were buttoned down. And of course Spike, who was like one of the main vampires, kind of always reminded me of Billy Idol.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Billy Idol on his days off, yeah. you know, kind of just wearing
moonlighting,
you know,
as big a vampire.
Leather, yeah, wearing a big leather trench and big boots and that sort of thing. And the other vampire, Angel, he kind of wore similar but always black.
Yeah.
You know, so he was kind of like the gothy version, whereas Spike was kind of the punk with his fake English accent. So it's like pretty funny. But I think, you know, it's quite interesting that it's had such a long-lasting effect, and the fact that there are so many kind of visual accounts for the fashion. And it is that some of them are, you know, some of the looks were really cool and, you know, you really love them. And then other ones you're like, no, that doesn't work now, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's really cool to see the how fashionable it was at the time, you know, especially with those square necks and the crop tops and those sorts of things. And Cynthia Birdstrom said that at one point she had put Buffy in a cream blouse with a black bra, and she got called into, you know, the head of the network, and she thought she was going to get in trouble because she was trying to say to the audience that, you know, Buffy's kind of growing up and she's trying to reveal a little bit more about herself. And so that was kind of the visual cue of that. But when she went in there, they were like, this is great, more, more, you know, kids are doing drinking games every time they see like her bra strap, you know, which is like really bizarre. But so it's quite interesting that like those little visual cues exist as well. And it's something you don't always think about when you're watching something.
Totally. I think because it ran for quite a long time as well, people who watched it grew up with it a little bit too, so there is that thing of you're watching it and you're, you know, if you're the same age at the time it's coming out, you're kind of growing at the same time as Buffy, so you'd be taking those style prompts at the, you know, rate that they were coming out on the telly too. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And it's weird because if you do end up binge watching it, and then there's almost like a grief at the end of the show because you're like, oh, I'm not going to see my friends anymore, you know? So it's quite funny.
That's when you know a TV show's got under your skin, eh?
Yeah.
It was a big fan, obviously, the Breeders were a big fan of it, and we're going to play their cover of the Buffy theme. But you kind of think about that, like, the Breeders were in their own way, like, fashion icons in that sort of, like, grunge and almost, like, too cool to care thing. And there is an element of that in the Buffy world, so you can sort of see why the deals maybe gravitated towards a TV show like that.
That kind of like does kind of wrap up the 90s as well. Like people just kind of wore what they wanted to wear, you know, and didn't really care.
Yeah, totally.
Like with those clashing patterns and things.
Lots of flannel, lots of plaid going on there. Thank you very much for bringing us Buffy the Vampire Slayer on Fashion This Morning, Penelope Noir. We will see you very soon.
Thanks.
Someone's texted in, Buffy forever! I also just handed down some of my 90s clothes to my 17-year-old. Lol. It always comes back round. Fashion is cyclical.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.